Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
It's called soccer.
It's called football.
Soccer.
Football.
Domino's best deal ever lets you get any pizza, including stuffed crust, with any toppings for $9.99.
Okay, we can agree on that.
Yeah, fully.
So, pineapple? Don't ruin it. Get any pizza, including stuffed crust, with any toppings for $9.99. Finally, something everyone can get behind.
And if the rest disagree, that's between them and Domino's. Which means the only thing left to fight over is who's ordering.
Domino's.
Prices higher for some locations. Excludes XL and specialty pizzas. Select this offer from 6:15 to 7:26. Online only. Size availability varies by crust type. Max 7 toppings. 6 for pan and New York style crust. Minimum purchase required for delivery. Prices, participation, delivery area, and charges may vary.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
If you like your true crime like you like your coffee,
Red Handed is the podcast for you.
It's dark, intense, and might just keep you up all night.
I'm Hannah.
I'm Saruti. And every week on Red Handed, we break down a different fascinating case.
From the most recent US trials everyone is obsessing over, like Brendan Banfield, Karen Reed, and Ellen Greenberg,
to the most unbelievable stories from around the world, there's nothing we love more than digging into every detail of the cases we cover, getting beyond a basic analysis and cutting to the heart of the story.
Red Handed has over 400 episodes ready to binge right now.
Plus, be sure to check out our weekly sister show, Shorthand, where we unpack everything from the Black Death to Area 51.
If you're looking for smart, detailed true crime with personality, check out Red Handed wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
Patrick Clancy went to pick up dinner. That sentence carries more weight than it should. And if you've been following along in our series this week about the Lindsay Clancy case, you already know why. If you're just joining us, let's get into it. He left the house on Summer Street in Duxbury on the evening of January 24th, 2023, to run an errand his wife had texted him about. Takeout from a restaurant, a stop at CVS, an ordinary Tuesday night for most. He came home and his wife was lying injured in the backyard. His three children were in the basement. Cora was 5, Dawson was 3, Catlin was 8 months old. He called 911. He stood in that backyard while officers arrived. He went into that house and reached the basement and reportedly yelled 3 words that the first responders who heard them have apparently never forgotten. And then in the days that followed, before the country had caught its breath, before most people had even processed the news out of Duxbury, Patrick Clancy released a written statement. He said the shock and pain were excruciating and relentless. He said Cora Dawson and Callan were the essence of his life, and that he was completely lost without them. If you're a parent, you're probably running this through your prism and you're like, yeah, that's how I feel about my living kids. I can't imagine speaking of them in the past tense like that. Then he said something that stopped people in their tracks, something that got forwarded and screenshotted and debated on every platform that exists, something that people called their mothers and their sisters about. He said he wanted to ask everyone to find it within themselves to forgive Lindsay. as he had. As he had already, past tense, done. I know a lot of folks out there who have already made their judgment. I see it in the comments, and you're certainly entitled to your opinion. But I think, like I've said before, if you really want to be honest and look at this case and understand what's going on, this is not the same as many other mothers who ended cases with their children. It really is not. Either you can choose to listen to that information and take it in, or you can make snap judgments. It's up to you. And I'm curious to get your opinion in the comment section on Substack and YouTube as we continue to work through this. The links are in the description. A father whose children had just been taken from this planet had arrived at forgiveness before the rest of us had even finished being shocked. And from that moment on, the Lindsay Clancy case was never just about what happened in the basement. It became about what forgiveness means, what grief looks like when it refuses to follow the expected script, and what it says about all of us that Patrick Clancy's choice to stay, to forgive, to publicly ask others to follow generated as much controversy as the crime itself. The reactions were immediate and completely divided. There were people who wept reading that statement, who called it the most extraordinary act of grace they had ever witnessed from a human being in the middle of catastrophic loss. People who said Patrick Clancy was modeling something most of us would never be capable of, something they wanted to believe humans could do in the worst moments of their lives. And there were people who were furious. People who said his forgiveness was a betrayal of the three dead children. People who couldn't reconcile the image of Cora, Dawson, and Callan with a husband standing in the wreckage saying he didn't hold their mother responsible. People who believed that forgiveness in a case like this was something Patrick Clancy didn't have the right to extend on behalf of his kids. Both of those reactions are real. Both of them have been loud. And neither of them have been resolved. Patrick Clancy did not speak publicly again about the case for more than a year and a half. He relocated to Manhattan. He moved forward in a way that a man moves forward when he has no other choice, when the alternative is to stop entirely, break down, go on a bender, and never come back. And then in October 24, he sat for an interview with The New Yorker. And the things he said there, carefully and without theater, are some of the most significant words anyone has uttered in connection with this case. He said Lindsay described that night to him as feeling like a snap of the fingers, like she was present in that kitchen on Summer Street, and then in an instant she was somewhere she had no control over and no memory of choosing to go. He said that she had never used the word psychosis with him before, that the language arrived after, in the aftermath, as a framework for something she apparently couldn't have named while it was happening. He said he wasn't angry with her. And then he said the thing that's become the defining quote of the entire case. I wasn't married to a monster. I was married to someone who got sick. You can agree with that. You can push back hard on it. Reasonable people have done both. But what Patrick Clancy is doing in that sentence is making a very specific and deliberate distinction between who Lindsay Clancy was and what Lindsay Clancy already or allegedly did and became. Between the illness and the woman, he is saying those are not the same thing, even when the outcome is three dead children. Even then, he has decided that, and he has said publicly he has not walked it back. What the public record also shows is that Patrick was not a man in denial before January 24th. He was not someone who didn't see it coming and was blindsided by a wife whose illness was invisible to him. A month before the killings, he told a close friend that the medications aren't working, that he believed Lindsay had become addicted to benzodiazepines, that the withdrawals and the side effects were the worst possible. He drove her to appointments. He tried to communicate with their providers. He was watching his wife deteriorate in real time and saying so out loud to the people around him, trying to get someone to do something different, trying to stop something he could feel building but couldn't name or intercept. When it happened anyway, when he came home with dinner and the world ended, he didn't turn his grief at Lindsay. He turned it somewhere else. In January 26, Patrick Clancy filed a wrongful death lawsuit against his wife's psychiatrist and her other medical providers. Not against Lindsay, against the people he holds legally and morally responsible for what Lindsay became. The lawsuit names Jennifer Tufts, a psychiatrist, Rebecca Gioletta, a certified nurse practitioner, Aster Mental Health, Inc., and South Shore Health Systems, Inc., as defendants. It accuses them of gross negligence, of failing to coordinate Lindsay's care, of prescribing medications recklessly, of not monitoring her condition as it deteriorated, of missing every signal that should have redirected her to more intensive treatment. The lawsuit names the wrongful deaths of Cora, Dawson, and Callan Clancy as the direct result of that negligence. Patrick Clancy signed his name to it. That document tells you more clearly than any interview or statement exactly where Patrick Clancy has decided the blame lives. He has decided it formally. He has put it in a filing and submitted it to a court of law. Around Patrick in the months that followed the killings, a community formed that reflected his position even before he articulated it publicly. Dozens of mothers from southeastern Massachusetts, women from Foxborough, Mansfield, Duxbury, all over, submitted letters to the court on Lindsay's behalf. They wrote, "As mothers, we know Lindsay was not in a healthy space to carry out the act she's accused of. We want to stand by her in her darkest hour, as we wish any other mother would do for us if we found ourselves struggling to." They were not excusing the deaths. They were not pretending the loss of those three children was acceptable or minimizable. They were saying something specific and personal. "We've been close enough to the edge of postpartum mental illness to understand that the edge is real, and that the women who go over it are not the same as the women who choose to. We were lucky she wasn't." That sympathy, that empathy, that community of women who recognize something of themselves in Lindsay's story exists alongside a counter-narrative that is equally present and equally loud. There are people who believe the insanity defense is manipulation, that postpartum psychosis is being deployed as a legal shield, that the deaths of Cora, Dawson, and Callan demand a verdict that holds their mother accountable, regardless of what was happening in her mind. Those people are not wrong to demand justice for three children. This case has never been a situation where one side is entirely right and the other is entirely wrong. It has been, from the first day, a case that demands you hold contradictions simultaneously. Most people find that deeply uncomfortable. Most people want a simpler story. This case has never offered one. And no matter how you try and put this into a box and tie a bow in and go, "See, it's this," it will never be. So stop trying and see what you're dealing with. On February 20th of 2026, Lindsay Clancy appeared in a Plymouth Superior courtroom in person for the first time since 2023. She was brought in by court officers in a wheelchair. She was dressed in a black suit, a silver cross at her throat, her hair straight down. She sat quietly throughout the hearing while attorneys on both sides argued logistics and pending motions ahead of the trial. She addressed the court exactly once, a murmured good afternoon to Judge William Sullivan when he greeted her at the start, and then she went silent and mostly stared straight ahead. Whatever was happening behind her eyes in that courtroom, she kept it entirely to herself. Her parents were there, Paula and Mike Musgrove, Lindsay's mother and father, sitting in a courtroom for the first time. They had reportedly spent most of the last 3 years living in a hotel near Tewksbury State Hospital, close enough to visit her, their daughter daily, showing up for her in the only way left available to them, in the limited hours and spaces a psychiatric institution allows. Outside the courthouse afterward, Paula Musgrove spoke to reporters. She was crying. She said, "She's a loving mother. She's always been." And then she stopped herself. "I can't say any more," is what she said. Her husband, Mike Musgrove, stood behind beside her and said, "We love our daughter very much, and we're here just to support her any way we possibly can." Two parents outside a courthouse defending their daughter who is charged with the murder of their grandchildren. There is no angle from which that sentence isn't completely devastating. There's no framing that makes it less than what it is. A family broken at every level simultaneously trying to hold itself together around something that has no good center of gravity. Defense attorney Kevin Reddington spoke to reporters that same day outside the courthouse. He said he was protective of Lindsay. He said it had been enormously draining for her, that she was nervous and scared, and that he wanted her to gradually acclimate to the process that was coming. Nervous and scared, more than 3 years after January 24th of 2023, still inside whatever this is. Patrick Clancy has his own grief, his own lawsuit, his own version of accounting that may never be fully settled. He grieves three children. He has concluded formally and legally that the medical system bears responsibility for their deaths. He does not hold their mother accountable in the way the prosecution does. He is carrying all of that simultaneously. He's been carrying it since the night he came home with dinner, and he's never shown any sign of putting any of it down. There is no verdict coming that will resolve the arithmetic for Patrick Clancy. There is no outcome in Plymouth that makes the math add up. There is grief for three children. And there is what he has publicly described as love for Lindsay that survived what happened on January 24th. And those two things are both real, and they do not cancel each other out. He has decided that. He has lived inside that decision for more than 3 years. Whether his choice represents grace or denial or something the English language doesn't have a good word for, that conversation has been running since the first statement and shows absolutely no sign of stopping. Three graves, two civil lawsuits, one man who decided that grief and love are not mutually exclusive. Two parents in a hotel parking lot showing up daily because there's nothing else left to do. A woman in a wheelchair who said good afternoon to a judge, then went quiet and stared ahead to keep whatever she was thinking entirely to herself. The trial hasn't started. None of this is over. And every single person connected to this case is still living inside it every day with no exit and no clean answer waiting on the other side. If you've experienced this or something like it, or just come up to the edge, your voice matters and deserves to be heard. Please join us in the comments section and weigh in on Substack and YouTube, because I can guarantee there are other people coming here, watching this story, relating to the story, and feeling very alone. Here's a chance to use some of that pain and that horrific experience to help others. I've been through it, not to this level. My kids are alive. But I've been pretty close to where Patrick sits. Or more so where he was while this was going on. While the shifts of medication, while going to doctor, the madness, the trying to find a solution. And sitting by your loved one every day trying to help them through the hell that their brain is putting them through. And many days not recognizing who that person is, and that person not recognizing who that person is themselves. It's real, it's horrible, it's damaging, and more people need to understand what the hell it is and take it seriously. Especially the medical community, co-figure. If you or someone you know is experiencing postpartum mental health challenges, the National Maternal Mental Health Hotline offers 24/7 support. You can call or text 833-943-5746. 833-943-5746. Again, we'll continue the conversation in the comments section. Until then, I'm Tony Bruschi. We will talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
10 hours on my feet, traffic, noise, everybody needing something from me. My head is spinning. I just need the world to stop for 1 second. But then I get home, shoes off, phone out, and I open Modo Casino. Hundreds of slots, classic table games. It's my instant reset. The variety I want in the quiet I need.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details. Download the Modo Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Modo Casino. America's social casino.
If you like your true crime like you like your coffee,
Red Handed is the podcast for you.
It's dark, intense, and might just keep you up all night.
I'm Hannah.
I'm Saruti. And every week on Red Handed, we break down a different fascinating case.
From the most recent US trials everyone is obsessing over, like Brendan Banfield, Karen Reed, and Ellen Greenberg,
to the most unbelievable stories from around the world, there's nothing we love more than digging into every detail of the cases we cover, getting beyond a basic analysis and cutting to the heart of the story.
Red Handed has over 400 episodes ready to binge right now.
Plus, be sure to check out our weekly sister show, Shorthand, where we unpack everything from the Black Death to Area 51.
If you're looking for smart, detailed true crime with personality, check out Red Handed wherever you get your podcasts.
Every dating app swipe is another loss. Gym bros, fake CEOs, straight up losers. So now the only app I open is Modo Casino, because at least there I'm surrounded by winners, real winners, thousands of them. While everyone else is in the single swamp, I'm at home relaxing while stacking bonuses, hitting wins, and playing all my favorite Vegas style games. Modo Casino, the only app worth your time.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details. Download the Modo Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Modo Casino. America's social casino.
If you like your true crime like you like your coffee,
Red Handed is the podcast for you.
It's dark, intense, and might just keep you up all night.
I'm Hannah.
I'm Saruti. And every week on Red Handed, we break down a different fascinating case.
From the most recent US trials everyone is obsessing over, like Brendan Banfield, Karen Reed, and Ellen Greenberg,
to the most unbelievable stories from around the world, there's nothing we love more than digging into every detail of the cases we cover, getting beyond a basic analysis and cutting to the heart of the story.
Red Handed has over 400 episodes ready to binge right now.
Plus, be sure to check out our weekly sister show, Shorthand, where we unpack everything from the Black Death to Area 51.
If you're looking for smart, detailed true crime with personality, check out Red Handed wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Modo is U.S. owned and operated. Modo, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Modo.us.
Modo Casino's a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Modo Casino.
If you like your true crime like you like your coffee,
Red Handed is the podcast for you.
It's dark, intense, and might just keep you up all night.
I'm Hannah.
I'm Saruti. And every week on Red Handed, we break down a different fascinating case.
From the most recent US trials everyone is obsessing over, like Brendan Banfield, Karen Reed, and Ellen Greenberg,
to the most unbelievable stories from around the world, there's nothing we love more than digging into every detail of the cases we cover, getting beyond a basic analysis and cutting to the heart of the story.
Red Handed has over 400 episodes ready to binge right now.
Plus, be sure to check out our weekly sister show, Shorthand, where we unpack everything from the Black Death to Area 51.
If you're looking for smart, detailed true crime with personality, check out Red Handed wherever you get your podcasts.
John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spend on Modo Casino. Modo's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily. And the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Modo, America's social casino. Play for free on Modo.us.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details. Download the Modo Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Modo Casino. America's social casino.
If you like your true crime like you like your coffee,
Red Handed is the podcast for you.
It's dark, intense, and might just keep you up all night.
I'm Hannah.
I'm Saruti. And every week on Red Handed, we break down a different fascinating case.
From the most recent US trials everyone is obsessing over, like Brendan Banfield, Karen Reed, and Ellen Greenberg,
to the most unbelievable stories from around the world, there's nothing we love more than digging into every detail of the cases we cover, getting beyond a basic analysis and cutting to the heart of the story.
Red Handed has over 400 episodes ready to binge right now.
Plus, be sure to check out our weekly sister show, Shorthand, where we unpack everything from the Black Death to Area 51.
If you're looking for smart, detailed true crime with personality, check out Red Handed wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are,
and that's who we care about.
Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino.
If you like your true crime like you like your coffee,
Red Handed is the podcast for you.
It's dark, intense, and might just keep you up all night.
I'm Hannah.
I'm Saruti. And every week on Red Handed, we break down a different fascinating case.
From the most recent US trials everyone is obsessing over, like Brendan Banfield, Karen Reed, and Ellen Greenberg,
to the most unbelievable stories from around the world, there's nothing we love more than digging into every detail of the cases we cover, getting beyond a basic analysis and cutting to the heart of the story.
Red Handed has over 400 episodes ready to binge right now.
Plus, be sure to check out our weekly sister show, Shorthand, where we unpack everything from the Black Death to Area 51.
If you're looking for smart, detailed true crime with personality, check out Red Handed wherever you get your podcasts.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
If you like your true crime like you like your coffee,
Red Handed is the podcast for you.
It's dark, intense, and might just keep you up all night.
I'm Hannah.
I'm Saruti. And every week on Red Handed, we break down a different fascinating case.
From the most recent US trials everyone is obsessing over, like Brendan Banfield, Karen Reed, and Ellen Greenberg,
to the most unbelievable stories from around the world, there's nothing we love more than digging into every detail of the cases we cover, getting beyond a basic analysis and cutting to the heart of the story.
Red Handed has over 400 episodes ready to binge right now.
Plus, be sure to check out our weekly sister show, Shorthand, where we unpack everything from the Black Death to Area 51.
If you're looking for smart, detailed true crime with personality, check out Red Handed wherever you get your podcasts.
Every dating app swipe is another loss. Gym bros, fake CEOs, straight up losers. So now the only app I open is Moto Casino, because at least there I'm surrounded by winners, real winners, thousands of them. While everyone else is in the single swamp, I'm at home relaxing while stacking bonuses, hitting wins, and playing all my favorite Vegas style games. Moto Casino, the only app worth your time.
Moto Casino, it's a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
If you like your true crime like you like your coffee,
Red Handed is the podcast for you.
It's dark, intense, and might just keep you up all night.
I'm Hannah.
I'm Saruti. And every week on Red Handed, we break down a different fascinating case.
From the most recent US trials everyone is obsessing over, like Brendan Banfield, Karen Reed, and Ellen Greenberg,
to the most unbelievable stories from around the world, there's nothing we love more than digging into every detail of the cases we cover, getting beyond a basic analysis and cutting to the heart of the story.
Red Handed has over 400 episodes ready to binge right now.
Plus, be sure to check out our weekly sister show, Shorthand, where we unpack everything from the Black Death to Area 51.
If you're looking for smart, detailed true crime with personality, check out Red Handed wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi everyone, this is James and Dan. We are two-fourths of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. Every week we sit down behind some microphones and share with each other the best things we've found out over the last 7 days.
Yes, so for instance, Dan, did you know that you cannot tie a knot in four dimensions?
I knew that's where I was going wrong. Interesting.
There are all sorts of reasons why, but we would go into them all on our podcast, along with loads of extra facts as well.
That's right. And if you want to check it out, No Such Thing as a Fish is available wherever you get your podcasts.